Good evening. This is LaVon Breedon with
Blog
a special
Talk Radio.
Again, good evening. This is LaVon Breedon with a special broadcast and a special teaching to promote wisdom during this election season. Let's pray and get straight into the lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and thought tonight. As I make manifold known the wisdom of God, Holy Spirit, I say have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the people's hearts and ears to hear what you have to say to the church. Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed tonight, you be glorified. And this we thank you for, in Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to start off the lesson by giving some disclaimers. First, I would like you to know that you can listen from any political platform that you may be focusing on in this particular election. This particular teaching will not endorse any candidate or platform, nor will it promote the church voicing who you should vote for. It will rather, on the contrary, provoke us to live out our Christian life, both in our professional, personal, and profession of faith. So I think you're going to be blessed by tonight's lesson. Let's open up with a psalm reading, the 31st chapter of Psalms, as a mind shaper of tonight's lesson. The series is entitled The Value Village, The Value Village. No, I am not talking about the thrift store. I'm talking about the state of Christian values. Tonight's lesson is entitled Value Currents, God's Troubling the Waters. Psalms 31 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thank God for such an affirmation through prayer. And then we go to our central text that gives us a theme for tonight in John chapter 5, the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, and whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked on the same day that was the Sabbath. We'll pause there and come back there a little later. Our values are always placed manipulatively as a basis of the platforms we support every election season. Historically, the church in this nation has been demonically stagnated from our proper place in governing our agenda successfully in the culture of this system. However, despite the world's attempt to invalidate the features of our dominating, we still hold the keys of the kingdom necessary for a holistic reformation. Our political involvement and ambition must come to the intersection of the cross of Calvary. And we cannot ever, as Christians, shy off or downplay our convictions to politically progress. And for this cause has the Father enlightened me to give a special attention, even tonight, to our current wave of influence. The gospel affirms to us to develop superior values stemming from the authority above the systems of the world. And we must become very skillful projecting our voice and authoritative stance to a secular culture who would rather have sin for righteousness. This must be given due supplication, and if we are not careful, we will lose focus with far-fetched outlooks on why we as Christians involve ourselves in certain sections of secular culture. The successive lessons are set to establish a basis of a core construct to how we project light into a secular institution in the need of our influence and our divine help. Our ultimate focus should be, again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whenever we invoke our sovereign verdicts on matters concerning this world, we have to be extremely acute and aware to how we place God upon this world. Remember that he is an all-holy God who cannot look on sin. And we are agents of his will, carriers of his intent. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can place our influence on any platform and work progressively to our intent, the Great Commission, as the solution and the sole basis of the catastrophic dilemma this political system affirms. Back in the text, scholastically, this particular passage is not one of the easiest to translate theologically. Many several challenges to Christian accepted theology. Number one being God's involvement in the troubling of a water, the event being a natural place, experience a supernatural phenomena for no unbeknownst reason other than to heal people occasionally, goes against the nature and the compassion naturally adapted to the accepted confines of theology. It's quite an interesting text. It's also interesting because scholastically we cannot prove the origin of the actual place of the pool at Bethesda. We can locate where Bethesda was, but there's no geographic location to this pool, so it is often suggested by theological scholars that this is a metaphoric analogy pointing to the need for God making us whole and preventing and asserting. So there's a lot of controversy around this particular chapter, John chapter 5. We know that the synoptic gospels in the scripture are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which give distinct accounts to the eyewitness experiences and reactions toward the miraculous in which Jesus existed in. But John focuses on who Jesus is and also his advantage, not only of being our Savior and King and Master, as Matthew, Mark, and Luke suggest, but also him being the source and the solution to everything needed in life. John opens up his depiction of the gospel with saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So a lot of times the metaphorical language used to represent intent of the content in this gospel often conflicts with the whole historical background of Jewish customs and beliefs. So I want to use, for the sake of this lesson, the scenario to paint how meticulous and how manipulative society plays on Christian values. Society created this appreciation for Bethesda, the pool at Bethesda. It was the talk of the town. People were getting healed from a mysterious angelic visitation that troubled the waters. It is how the world looks on this particular nation, the United States. The same effect of the pool of Bethesda, how the world looks on our nation to establish the state of democracy. And our values are just like the state of the perception of the man that has laid at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. I am very intrigued as a minister at how we communicate our value system to the world today. I am quite disappointed in a lot of ministers for infiltrating sovereign verdicts with opinions, conflicting the core convictions of the faith with temporal political gamble. So I believe that this particular passage can kind of place a picture in our eyes, almost likened unto a parable, as to what we can do to achieve a greater positioning on the platform of values. Well, let's define what values are. Values are perceptions, enhancing measures that construct foundational principles for ethical, moral, personal, social, and spiritual focuses in life. They build upon the basis of convictions that leads to motivation for behavior and conduct and character. Values are the key keys to the fabric of our society. The greater we emphasize the values we have, the greater we will be. And so, somehow, in the political process, every few years, there becomes emphasis on us deciding who will lead us as a nation based on this platform. And if we as the church do not maintain the character and the integrity of God in our lives, we will confuse political agendas with the prophetic sentence upon this nation. And there lies a problem when the pulpit suggests that God's imprint of his sovereignty is at work and in the scheme of this nation's political agenda. It's not popular to preach this type of message because the church has misused this platform of values along with the world. And many values have been introduced to people under the disguise of conversion that have never been authenticated in the solidity of the scriptures. Meaning this, there are a lot of things that we do customary, that we make core values that are just customary based on our culture and our perspective on culture. And so what is being substituted for the gospel is based on someone's gross and someone's misguidedness. And we got to get back to being the church that has the word of God as the final authority. There are five realms, preliminary realms of authentic value. And I want to give that to you. Number one is conversional values. Conversional values are those core values that you get at the ignition and the activation of your salvation. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What kind of salvation? Awakens redemption. Redemption awakens sanctification, and sanctification awakens glorification. So there are, number one, conversional values. There are values that come instinctively with you accepting Christ as Savior. Then there are congregational values, because we found that the scripture says, don't forsake yourself with the assembly as the manner of some is. So we have to give earnest heed to the things to which we have been taught. We have to follow the apostles' doctrine, the teachings about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the congregational values are those that are most projected and communicated amongst the church. If the person who is in the top does not govern himself under the final authority of the scriptures, they will get caught in confusing congregational values with this third one, character values. There are conversional values, congregational values. There are character values. Character values are something that are embedded within the DNA of people's souls. People coming in contact with a creator God that gives them conviction from the basis of intuition, which says right is right and wrong is wrong. There's a difference between right and wrong. And those core values are then incubated through the disciplines and the molding of parenting and adolescence and adulthood. And there are things that we go through in life that then produce the character out of us. Those are character values, values that we've learned through developing ourselves cognitively, socially, spiritually, morally, ethically. There are character values. And there are often the most sought after. when it comes to voicing what we should stand on as Christians. And then there are conditional values. There are values that should come to light as a part of the process of the things we experience in life. For instance, the responses that we have when situations like the storm of Sandy and things like that. And then there are Christ-centered values. And these are the ones that are rarely tapped into, which can only be activated by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the Christian life. Unless we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we will not enter into that particular realm of values. So values are important to the believer. They are important for the sake of our conversion, for the sake of the congregations we attend, for the sake of the stance we take through character, then for the conditions that life presents us with. And ultimately, the goals of values is to achieve a state of Christ-likeness in the life of a believer. There are insights behind why political strategies stress values toward the platform that they want Christian voters to support. And that's what I want to deal with the core of my discussion with tonight. Now, this is one of five lessons, but I will only share three lessons abbreviated on this particular broadcast. But I would offer you to get involved of how you can download this entire study. And I'm going to be brief as possible, but I want to give as much as I can to you tonight. But I want to give you five insights behind the political strategies of platforms. Number one is this: Christian convictions are the foundational convictions of this nation. Christian convictions are the foundational convictions of this nation. Historically, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution were developed and originated through political leadership that had been educated through religious institutions. The proceeds of this formation of activities, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the government, the proceeds established were all established through the basis of faith, the ideology of freedom and the independence form and the sense of independence which formed the initial union. We met on the basis of our faith, an expression of our faith freely, through us receiving the hope of independence from Britain and other countries that would try to invade this land. So Christian convictions are the foundational convictions of this nation. So one of the keys to bringing Christian convictions up when it comes to our values in this world is because, solely because of the notion that we started this on the basis of faith. And you can trace that historically. Secondly, Christians have not devoted its whole basis of belief on a platform, solely on one platform. So our swinging power plays heavy blow to the political agenda on either side. You'll find historically there has been great switches on why we believe certain ways and how it moves us. And so it moved us at one time, moved different people in different ways at times in life to be Republican or Democratic or independent or other parties that may exist. But in either case, because Christians hold such a stake in the course of history, we have not devoted ourselves to any particular platform, so we have a swing power. And that position was designed by God through the power of sanctification, but can only be translated by the leading of the Holy Spirit for its effective use. Thirdly, Christians are the leading influence behind the creating the core ideals behind the concept of globalization. The gospel has been the only successful global brand that possesses the power of dominion across the board. No other message has been more globally spread. No matter what type of whether it be government, business, education, the gospel has been the most successful ideal concept that set the pace for globalization, even from the mere translations of the Bible itself. Strongest communication link that we have ever seen in world history. There's more I can say behind this, but for time's sake, we must go on. Christianity has an unprecedented platform, and Christ gives a central message that the world envies. Their alternative has no match to divine unity. So a lot of the reasons why we stand out for our beliefs is because of the weight we carry. And then fifthly, Christians are the leading force behind the concept of faith, for we gave faith definition. Because we've learned that faith without works is dead. I would say more, but I don't have much time. I only have a few more minutes to get to you. We need to understand this process because when we go to communicate our values, we need to know how powerful our values are. Jesus did not use, and I'll close with this, Jesus did not use any supernatural phenomena to cure the man that was sitting there for 38 years. The potential for that man to exist in wholeness was already resident on the inside of him. But it was not until he changed his perspective. He was waiting for a man to help him get the pool. But he got discouraged because every time the angel would trouble the water, someone would get in front of him. His perspective kept him incubated with the others that were looking for phenomena to cure their reality. And therefore, I believe it paints a picture in the hearts of believers if we do not learn the values behind what we believe and why we believe what we believe. We will be like this beggar, like this sick person who laid there for 38 years with the potential to be made whole in the inside of him, looking for operations and systems and cultures to do something it was never designed to do. And God is calling us as a people, us as a church, to embody his values. And I think tonight's lesson will provoke the people, if they hear the voice of the Spirit, to find out the truth behind why they use our values as the basis of controlling the vote for platforms. There's more I will say, but I will conclude by giving you these points, and join me tomorrow night for the continuation of this lesson. Learn, number one, to live, learn the basis behind what you believe and why you believe them. Love the Lord, secondly, with all your heart, mind, and strength. Thirdly, let the Lord be the Lord of your life, personally, professionally, and in your profession of faith. And listen to the voice of the Spirit through discipline, and dedicate yourself to the written word of God. And then fifthly and finally, live what you preach. Live what you preach. Not what people expect you to be, but live what you preach. I'm out of time. I need more time to be able to teach this, and I will be able to teach it tomorrow. Join me tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the continuation of Value Village. I pray that the eyes of your understanding are open, and trust me, I have not begun to open up the understanding and the enlightenment which God has shed light on our values. But trust me, if you learn this within the next 3 days, before this election is over, you will be empowered to prosper. God bless you and good night.